Kia ora. How are you all doing? Are we well? Have you checked out with your neighbor? Are they doing well? Are they happy? It's so good to see you. It's really, really, truly good to be in God's house this morning. Would you agree? I know what it's like at this time of the year. People can be away and even their faith can kind of drift. And so it's good to come back and be anchored into God. Who's come back for the first time? Like, this is your first service for 2020. Hands in the air, please. Oh, welcome, Africa family. Shandy's here. Hey, Sharif, good to see you, man. Are you good, Sharif? Oh, good. Fantastic. It's good to see you all. We've still got plenty of people away. I can see it all over Facebook. We ourselves were away last week in Sydney. Everyone say Sydney. Put on your bestest Australian accent, Robin, in Sydney. Don't worry, we didn't get burned by the flames, but there was smoke and a bit difficult to breathe at times, but we had a great time. And just so you're aware, we were there for an executive meeting. That is Oceania. It's worth noting, just so we're all aware, we belong to a global family, and the global family is broken into regions, and we're in Oceania, Australia, New Zealand, and the South Pacific, but the islands of the Pacific. And so we came together, and just a few of them, not all the pastors, and we spent 2 days. It was fantastic, building a framework for church planting throughout the region. And really, I tell you what, there's nothing like a group of pastors, headstrong, A-type leaders in one little room, trying to get everybody down the path to make decisions is a minor miracle. And we made it. And it was really good. And so the region has never been this healthy. It's so healthy. Relationships at the pastoral level all the way through are really strong. And so my optimism is refreshed and renewed. So if you didn't know, we're in New Zealand, Australia, Papua New Guinea, and Fiji. We've got Samoa, Tonga, Solomon, about 15 groups of islands. We want to believe God to reach and plant churches. Other cities, Adelaide's coming up right now. There's a church beginning to emerge in Adelaide. We're praying for Wellington. Hallelujah. Is anybody from Wellington? Anybody born in Wellington? Anybody got a heart for Wellington? Anybody like to visit Wellington? It's a great city, so we're a church-planting, disciple-making, devil-kicking, mountain-climbing church. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Oh, good to see Karaka Knights in the house. Yeah. Woo. That's our Saturday night church service. So it's all good. Well, we've been talking about this word behind me, habits. We've been talking about this thing called habits. Now, the series is very, very practical. From time to time, the odd person says to me, gosh, our sermons are very spiritual and conceptual, but this one's a very practical series. I think if you're someone like me who doesn't feel particularly spiritual at times, you want just tell me what to do. Like, let's break it down and get practical. This is a series for that, and we always do this in January. Something to really, really help us with living, with wisdom, with life skills. And so there's a powerful thing called habits. We all have them, good habits and bad habits. Husbands and wives, no nudging right now. It's a bad moment to nudge. We all have them, right? So it's very practical, but you know what? It's kind of like a skeleton in the human body. It keeps everything together. It relates to your spiritual health. It relates to your relational health, your emotional health, your mental health. It relates to every aspect, physical health, every aspect. Healthy people always have habits, good habits. Successful people in whatever endeavor you choose will always have a baseline, a framework of healthy habits. And so we're doing it because I want you to live your best life. You can be talented, you can be wealthy, you can be educated, but if you don't have fundamental daily habits, you will never achieve the call of God on your life. You cannot have wealth and you could struggle in so many areas, but if you've got good habits, you can overcome so many areas in your life.
Is anybody listening to me this morning? So we're going to crack into it. We're going to, I referred to a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. And he postures this idea, and his research proves that really our goals for life are very, very common. Doesn't matter what continent you live in. Generally speaking, our goals all aspire to be good health, more money, good relationships. And if you're a Christian, hopefully you want to get closer to God. That's very common. But some people achieve those goals, but many people, maybe even most people, don't achieve those goals. You see, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, you know what? I want to live payday to payday. You know what? I always want to be living in the red. You know what? I just love it when I get home and my wife says, you bought what? Nobody says, I'm going to put on 3 kgs every year until I have really, really, really poor health and die. Nobody says, I'm going to become a raging addict and ruin all my relationships. Hopefully nobody here, and maybe nobody you know, says, you know what, I want to live a deadbeat life. No passion, no aspiration. I'm just going to waste my years, and hopefully by the end, I'll have a whole pile of regrets. Nobody says that, right? And yet, so often, that is in fact the case. Really, do we end up in a wrong place because of one bad choice? Most people don't ruin their lives because of one bad decision. Sometimes, you know, if you decide, you know what, I'm going to jump out the plane without a parachute, that could be that one big moment. But generally, most train wrecks that I have in my role as a pastor and a counselor, most train wrecks I have to visit and try to untangle and see if there's anything beating any life in there and do an autopsy and find out how do we get to the situation. Usually it's not just one. In fact, never has it been one decision and one choice. It's amazing. People summarize a lifetime of bad decisions in one sentence. I wonder if you've noticed this before. Might be, well, she fell into sin and cheated on her husband and she got divorced. Can I tell you, there was a year of bad choices that led up to that happening. Or he struggled with his weight all his life and he died at 58. It's a summary statement. What about this one? Oh, they were just irresponsible and the company fired him. You see, it wasn't one bad decision. It was a build-up of decisions. I've employed people, actually, not in church, well, in church, but I've fired people not in church. That didn't quite make sense. Before I was a pastor in ministry, I've hired and fired many people. And can I tell you, it's never not one decision. It's someone who doesn't know how to turn the snooze button off and get out of bed and get to work on time regularly. I hope you're catching this morning. There are summary statements all through the Bible. If you look at the lens, you'll see summary statements. And here's one in Judges 16. It summarizes a lot of bad decisions in a dude called Samson. Now, Samson, if ever there was a guy who had God-given talent and destiny, it was Samson. Yet he made one bad decision after another, one more decision, bad choice, bad step, and he ruined his life. Judges 16, verse 1, it says, one day, Samson went to Gaza. I think that's down by Hamilton somewhere. One day, Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. This is a summary sentence. I want you to know something. Gaza was the Philistine headquarters. Samson was public enemy number one, but he decides he's going to go to Gaza and put his very life at risk. Now, you probably think the guy only works on Sundays. I don't really have a real job. And so because of all the spare time that I have in my life, I decided to figure out what was the distance between the hometown Zora, the hometown of Samson, and Gaza. Can I tell you today, it's 40.2 kilometers from his hometown. Now, you've got to remember, there was no Uber. There was no Lime scooter. So we're going to assume today that he walked. Question. How many people would walk 40 kilometers into enemy territory just for a little pleasure? For a little squeeze? How many people would walk, let me repeat this, how many people would walk 40 kilometers into enemy territory for a little pleasure? Who does that? The answer is people do it every day. People do it every single day. 40.2 kilometers, according to the average step, is 56,250 steps. Samson didn't ruin his life all at one time. He made 56,250 steps in the wrong direction. Most of us don't mess up our lives all at once. How do we do it? One bad choice, one bad decision, one bad habit at a time. And that is why we're talking about habits. If you weren't here the first week, on the 5th of January, we talked about who before do. Before you do good habits, who do you want to become? Or more importantly, who does God want you and I to become, to catch a vision of what God, what our life might look like? What do we want to be known for? What's the reputation do we want to build? Who are we becoming? We want to do the who before the do. Hopefully you want to be a godly person, a great dad and a great mum. Hopefully you want to be healthy and generous. The second week, last week, based on who you want to become, what one habit do you need to start? And thank you, Izagani, for taking that session. What is one good habit you need to start to help you move forward to become what you want to be? Well, today, listen up, everybody. We're going to finish the series with one more layer. Based on who you want to become, what is one habit you want to stop? Oh, wow. That's right. I'm going to mess with your business today. What's one horrible habit? You know what it is. It keeps tripping you up. It may be hidden. It may be silent. It might be known. That one habit that stops you from becoming the man and woman of God that you really want to be. What is the one habit? It could be unhealthy. It could be unhelpful. It could even be ungodly. And they're taking you in the wrong direction. James 1, chapter 21, I love this, in the Good News Translation, it says, get rid of every stinking filthy habit. Sounds like Home Alone. Yeah, filthy animal. Anybody watch Home Alone at Christmas? Yeah, filthy animal. It's just, I love the attitude, just, you're filthy. Okay. I can just imagine James. So get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conduct. You're not going to do it on your own. No. This is what you're going to do. Submit to God and accept the word that he plants in your heart, which is able to save you. So we want to talk about how to break a habit, but first we must define what is one habit you want to break. Or maybe, what is one habit the person beside you wants you to break? You got to acknowledge it. You have to define it because you can't defeat what you can't define. I'm not asking you to come up with 27 habits that you want to break. I'm asking for one. One. Interesting. We're going to leave this topic and move into other things next week. In fact, next week, we're going to start the 6-part series called Amazing Grace. It's going to be beautiful. But just imagine if we, every year in January, started a really good habit. And every year in January, we destroyed and removed a really bad habit. It wouldn't take long before life, friend, would absolutely transform. What's that one habit? Maybe you got a problem with a bad attitude, a critical, complaining spirit. You're always seeing the negative, always gossiping. Yeah, we know. We know that little prayer meeting is really a gossip session. You wouldn't believe what Pastor Richard said. Or maybe you've got a tech addiction, video games, binge watching, Netflix, social media. Scroll, 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 like, scroll, scroll, oh, scroll, scroll, like, scroll, scroll, like, scroll, scroll. You know, wasting my life while I'm looking at someone else's fake life. Like, oh, yeah, scroll, scroll, scroll. What about porn? Pornography? Are you addicted? It's gone quiet. My habit is my phone. True. I've now downloaded an app on my phone to give me the facts of how long I spent on the phone yesterday. Yesterday I spent 2 hours and 40 minutes. I'm not happy about that. I think some of that includes the music I was listening to. Some good old 80s rock and roll. But seriously, even on my Sabbath on a Monday, I'm discovering I can't rest unless I'm holding my phone. I can have it there. I've turned it off and I've turned it back on. And I've turned it off and I've turned it back on. I keep checking it. Seriously, I think I have a problem. I want to break it. And I can kind of justify it, you know, because I'm a pastor and there's all these needs and messages. But really, it is an enemy of intimacy with God. I've determined now I'm not going to check out social media until I've got with God and His Word. I've got to break some habits. So I'm just fessing up this morning. See, I don't want to waste my God-given life looking at another person's sometimes fake postings on the digital life. Is anybody with me this morning? So let's talk about, why is breaking a habit difficult? We need to really understand there's a difference really between a good habit and a bad habit. Why a good habit is difficult to start, and a bad habit is difficult to break. And I think this is worthwhile noting. Good habits are challenging at first, but they have a payoff in the future. You know what this is like. You go jogging, nothing really happens. You got to get up. Oh, my goodness me. You got to set the alarm earlier, or you got to rearrange things to go for a jog. It's cold. It's difficult. And maybe 9 months later, 6 months later, 3 months later, you discover, wow, I'm losing weight. Or maybe it's about getting plugged into church. Maybe difficult at first. You've actually got to get here at 10:30, or maybe 10:15 for the radical on fire for Jesus people. But you get here and you got to get up early and you get here and you realize, man, I'm going to get up at 9 a.m. I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to actually pray. I'm actually going to prepare my heart to come into the house of God. I feel I'm closer to God. The supernatural peace of God comes into my life. The Word of God begins to come alive. I begin to form really good friendships, and I discover, wow. Won't happen in 2 weeks, but 2 months, 6 months, I feel like this is my home. I feel spiritually I'm growing. It's difficult at first, but the payoff is later. Whereas with bad habits, it's the opposite. With bad habits, the perceived immediate benefit is right now. It's immediate, but the payoff, the negative results are down the line. I wonder if you figure that out. It's true, isn't it? Bad habits can be fun. Sin can be fun, isn't that right? I can't believe the preacher said that. Absolutely. If sin is not fun for you, then you're not doing it right. Sin is fun for a while. I mean, hey, people start smoking to relieve a little stress, but guess what? Decades later, down the line, they got cancer. You might be customer of the year at all-you-can-eat buffet, getting into that pudding and that banana cake and, oh, that banoffee pudding and that trifle. I love my puddings. I got a sweet tooth. You might be their number one customer, friend. But I want to tell you, in decades to come, you'll have type 2 diabetes. Fun now. The negative payoff is down the track. Would you agree? And that is the problem. Bad habits give us an immediate hit. Good habits don't seem to do that. You seem to have to tough it out and down the track. And I think it's important to understand that and to know that. It'll help us as we learn how we can break a bad habit. So here we go. I'm going to give you two things on how to break a bad habit. Is everybody ready? It's very practical. There's not exegetical teaching this morning, not heavily doctrinal, but it will change your life. Seriously. Because we become tomorrow what our habits are today. Our habits will make us or break us. It's all depending on what habits you have in your life. Does that make sense? Is that logical? Isn't that just like logical? Actually, I would say biblically, it's sowing and reaping. If we keep eating junk food, we're going to end up as a junk body. Didn't mean to say that, but it sounds pretty good. Number one, here's how you break a bad habit. Make it difficult to do. Make it really, really difficult to do because we only have so much willpower. And it's like our energy depletes. We fight for a while, but then we get tired of fighting. Maybe you're hungry. Maybe you're trying to quit donuts. And they bring a big pile of your favorite donuts to the office or school or home. And they put the donuts on a lovely little table just like this one. And you walk by it. No, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to live my life in power and victory. Get away from me, Satan. No, no, no. Oh, the second time round. Oh, praise Jesus for the donuts. I can't have your donuts, but I thank you. I praise Jesus for all the lovely donuts in the world. Third time round. I wonder how they smell. I mean, just really, oh, that's right. Oh, but no, 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 no. And then you go, you do a bit more work, whatever. You come around the fourth time. Let me just touch the little donut again. Oh, that's right. Just a little bit. You come around the fifth time. And, well, you just maybe we just take a half. Just a half, because half is very light. Oh, it's so light. We take a little half. We wait 7 minutes, and because, you know, if you wait 7 minutes, those two halves don't equal a whole. We know this. We go and have the other one. We've had the one. Oh, darn it, I'll have four. Is anybody courageous enough to go, I'm with you, Pastor Richard. I am shocking at self-control with sweet stuff. Absolutely. Thank you for your honesty. The rest of you are a pack of wonderful people. Wonderful people. Wonderful people. Hallelujah. Okay. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? So what are we going to do? We're going to make it difficult to do. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 to 15. The scripture's about anything that's tempting or evil. It says, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil. Here's some helpful steps. Are you ready? Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. It's smart to remove things or make it difficult as much as you possibly can, difficult to do that habit. The second thing we want to do to break a bad habit is remove the trigger and interrupt the action. Last week, Ghani talked about the habit loop, and the research shows that it requires a cue or a trigger, and the trigger will lead to an action. This makes very logical sense, doesn't it? And that's followed by a reward, a high, a buzz, a dopamine hit. Something happens, and we go, wow, that was actually felt good. Sometimes we know in our heart it's not godly, but it felt good, and then eventually we come around and that thing triggers again, and we do that thing again. Oh no, I did it again, the donut. And the reward is, it felt so good. But you know what? Tasty to the lips, straight to the hips. Okay. Studies show there are five main triggers. Five main triggers: place, time, mood, moments, and people. And we're going to break it down. Place, time, mood. You're so moody this morning. That's right. We all have moods. Don't we, girls? I mean, guys and girls. Moods, moments, and people. Place and time. I'm going to put those together because these are very important to understand. Place and time can be a trigger. There's probably a place that you do that wrong habit. And there are certain places you wouldn't do that habit. You don't overeat at the gym. You don't swear at church. But you might overeat and swear when you go to the after-work function. There's also a time. There's a time. You don't look at pornography when you're at Connect Group. Dear Lord, I hope not. You wouldn't do it then, but when would you do it? After you've had an argument, maybe you're feeling lonely or bored. There is probably a time and a place when you think about it that triggers that bad habit. Think about David. King David in the Bible. David was a good guy. David genuinely had a heart after God. He wasn't a bad guy, but you know the story. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. And to make matters worse, he murdered her husband. And I would have to summarize it as wrong place, wrong time. It says in the scripture, in springtime, when kings went off to war, David didn't go off to war. I've got this little rap going on here. In the springtime, he wasn't at war time, and at the wrong time, saw Bathsheba during her bath time. Wrong place. The boy was supposed to be, kings always went to war to lead the troops. He had a bit of arrogance and a bit of pride, or for whatever other reason. Hey, boys, go ahead. I'm going to go back here and check out some. Wrong place, wrong time. He was seeing stuff he shouldn't have seen, which led to stuff he shouldn't be doing. If there is a consistent place and time where you are vulnerable to bad habits, we want to remove that trigger, right? Isn't that right? I mean, why walk close to the edge? Seriously. You're in an aeroplane going 30,000 feet. They open the door. Why stand on the edge? Why not step back? Be smart. Mood. Let's talk about mood. You know it. We all get moody from time to time. Isn't that right? Can we just admit sometimes we are moody? Hallelujah. Yeah. You too, guys. We're more vulnerable when there are certain moods. And experts teach when you see a mood coming, halt. You like that? Halt. It's when you are hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Behold, I offer you marriage advice right there. Moods come. We could toss in under hungry hormones. We could put in weather. There are things that generate moods. And when we get into a certain space, when you feel that mood coming, do you know what we should be doing? Running. We should realize I'm vulnerable right now. I don't need to put myself in that situation. Danger, danger, danger. When I'm hungry or angry or tired or whatever mood we might be in, maybe we should not do certain things. Certainly don't get on social media. Oh, I feel moody today. There's some things we should do and not do because we know we're in a mood. There are times, certainly, Proverbs talks about this, a good man is aware of his own spirit. There are times I do not respond to emails or messages because I know I'm feeling a bit antsy and a bit critical. Why is this person contacting me again? So I wait till my spirit, my mood, if you will, is settled and in a good place, then respond. Does this make sense? Moods are very important. Place, time, mood. Here's another trigger. Moments. Certain moments might trigger you. When you get into a fight with someone, That's when you always call your two best friends and begin to gossip. Or maybe you go off to the game with the guys, and that's where you drink too much. Or when you flunk an exam or something, some kind of other failure, that's always the moment that you watch porn or you eat too much to make yourself feel better, to console yourself. You did it last time, you did it again yesterday, and you're going to do it again. Unless something changes, we have to look at these triggers and then distance ourselves from them. Time, place, mood, moment. And then our final one is people. Wonderful people. The wrong people can trigger us and send us in the wrong direction, just as the right people can send us in the right direction. Wrong people, wrong direction. Right people, right direction. Studies conclude the closer you are to someone, the more likely you are to imitate them. So maybe it's time just to evaluate in this January, before the year kind of kicks in, evaluate some of those destructive relationships. You know, the old boys. You know, the old days, the old girlfriend. I mean, you know, whatever it might be, you know. It never really takes you closer to God. In fact, it makes you think and do things that you regret. Maybe it's time to delete some people on the computer. I've got boundaries around certain relationships in my life. Solomon knew this. I mean, well before modern scholars put it into books, Solomon said in Proverbs 13:20, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." Isn't this so true? I'm so blessed. You think about this. I'm very blessed to walk with good men. I've got about 5 to 8 men in this church in my life that are good, close friends. They all love Jesus. They all worship God. They all are involved in this church life. They're succeeding in their chosen field of work. They've got solid families. They're generous to a core. Can you imagine what it's like for me to live inside of that bubble or inside that friendship network where they're all going for Jesus, all got great families, all succeeding in their workplace? Can you imagine what it's like for me to live right and go after the call of God on my life? Can you imagine that? Well, that's how I live. But can you also imagine the flip side of that? Imagine if all my closest friends were unemployed, addicted to video games, no passion in their life, all they want to do is party. That would be so much more difficult to live a God-honoring life. So maybe we've got to get around some people who are going after God. Maybe we've got to tone down, turn down, restrict boundaries. Maybe we've got to sign off. I don't know how toxic the relationship might be, friend. But you know in your heart, certain people trigger certain things. The dirty jokes. They're just, all they're doing is living for tomorrow. There's no vision, there's no grit, there's no desire to go after the things of God. Maybe it's time to reevaluate those people. By all means, connect with lost people. Don't get me wrong. I want you to reach out, be salt and light, but you draw life and you model from people that are godly. It might be time to get in a connect group. It might be time to get discipled. It might be time, friend. Get some triggers in your life that are positive triggers that will stir you to greater things. What do you reckon? I'm not hearing absolutely one amen this morning. Are you anybody out there? This is not TV land. We're trying to help you live your best life. Or are you just going to leave this and go straight to the same old dirty habit? By all means, leave. Embrace mediocrity. Or you can say, God, I want the best life. I want to live for you. I'm tired of living in this doldrum. I'm tired of living down here like a child. I want to rise up and be a mighty man and woman of God. What do you reckon? Amen? Amen? It's almost impossible to live right when you have wrong friends. Paul said this so clearly. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So I've already said this. If your friends are sending you in the wrong direction, cut them or restrict them or redefine the relationship. How does that sound? So what are we doing? We want to remove the triggers, therefore break the action, and we want to implement a good habit instead. Now, how does this play out? Let's get really practical. Let's just break this down. We want to make it difficult, and we want to break the trigger. We want to remove the trigger. We're not going to hit the snooze button anymore. I know you've been hitting it 5 times, and for the very Christian holy people, 7 times, because it's a very special number. And you sleep in another 65 minutes in bed, but now we're going to recognize that this day is a gift from God. We're going to attack it with joy and power and victory, because God's called us to make a difference in this life. And to make it more difficult to snooze, you take the clock or the phone, and you go all the way to the other side of the bedroom and you put it over there. You've got to get out of your warm, snuggly, cozy bed, walk over the cold floor to the other side, and that might help you stay awake and go, no, I'm not going to do that. Or maybe you've got a problem with buying online. Click, 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 click. $112.50. How did it happen? You might want to give a friend a password, which means you've got to go to them and ask for the password so you can do some purchasing and justify the purchasing. If you can't control money, money will control you. Maybe if you've got a good close relationship in your connect group or a friend, maybe give them the password. It's the same with the phone, the internet, Netflix. Don't you want to set a password to avoid lustful images? You may be blocked from things. That's right. You may be blocked from something, but you're so keen to stay right with God that you don't mind. You might not be able to do that pet little thing, but you're so committed to purity and keeping your purity, and you're not going to let some fake image cause you to lose your purity and step back from intimacy with God. And maybe if you can't control even that, you might even do something radical and buy a dumb phone. I know you can't do your Uber pickup now. Don't worry, civilizations existed without Uber. Friends, I would say, do whatever you got to do to remove the trigger, to make it difficult to do. You got to do it, friend, because your heart is so after God. You're tired of living in sin, tired of living in doubt. The devil's plaguing your mind, and the God is saying, come on now, come on now. How desperate are you for this? Come on now, get rid of it. Get somebody else in the mix. Get some accountability. Get a password in there, and let's expose the thing that's tripping you up. The devil's holding you down, and you're not moving into the destiny of God that he has for you. Because of these little habits. Is anybody hearing me? Wouldn't it be a scary thing if we all looked at each other's internet search history right now? We can't, but God knows. And God is speaking this morning, not with the finger of judgment, but a loving Father saying, come on. You can live better than this. You know it's only taking you, that little habit, that little addiction, that little thing, it's only taking you down to a deep, dark path. And can I add this side comment? Some habits are dark, and they're deep, and they're entrenched. And I don't want to make light of those, and maybe some people here need to get some specialist help. Maybe even go to rehab, alcohol, drugs, sex addiction. I'm talking real this morning. It's time. It's 2020, friend. You've been wrestling with this for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and it's got you down. It's holding you down. And you've received prophecy, and you know in your heart God's called you to great things, to be a mighty, mighty man of God and a mighty, mighty woman of God. Friend, it's time to break the habit. None of us needs to walk alone. I walk with men, and I'm transparent to men. I just got back from Sydney. And Pastor Joshua said, Richard, what are you looking at? My wonderful Nigerian brother and leader, how's your soul? What's really going on, Richard? And I love it. I don't find it easy, but I need it. Do you have that? Do you have that? Whatever it takes to remove the trigger and cut the action. Can I ask you a simple question? Do you like the direction your habits are taking you? And if you're not sure, I want to encourage you, play it forward. Take that bad habit, take that secret thing that no one else really knows, and I want you to play it forward 5 years, 10 years, and 15 years. And this is what you're going to say, friend. You're going to say, I had no idea how much this was going to cost me. I never knew I would lose so much. I would give anything to go back in time and do something different. I wish I spent more time with the kids. I wish I'd never started, Pastor Richard. Oh, friend, I've heard those words. I wish I'd never started. It's ruined my life. I've lost my family. I've lost my house. I've lost my reputation. I've lost my name, friend. I want to tell you today, take your habit, play it forward, and see what it does. What beautiful kind of vision it presents to you. Just darkness and destruction. Why don't you save yourself 5, 10, 15 years and say, no, I am going to stop that now. I've had enough. Here's the final question. Which bad habit are you going to break? Oh, Pastor, I feel so weak. To which I say, great. Because when you are weak, Christ's strength is made perfect. God is faithful. God will never tempt you beyond what you can bear, my friend. There's always a way out. I want to remind you, Samson took 56,256 steps to Gaza. But I want to tell you, 56,250 steps are also 56,250 opportunities to turn around and go the other way. Are you hearing me this morning? That isn't the life you want. God's got bigger things for you. God's got better things for you to get out of the mediocrity and get out of the apathy. Husbands, fathers, husbands, men of God, it's time to rise and become men and lead our homes and lead our families and pray and read the Word of God and get to church on time and get to Connect Group. Men, it's time to pay the bills on time. Begin to save some money. Begin to prepare for the future. This is called habits, friend, and discipline. And I'm telling you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you begin to become the man of God and the woman of God that He's called you to be. I hope somebody's hearing me this morning. No matter how small, I encourage you today, take that bad habit, make it difficult to do, identify how it's triggered, and break it. One small thing over time will become big. One good habit we can start, one bad habit we can remove. Over time, friend, it multiplies. Over time, you'll become the person that you want to be. You'll be heading in the right direction. You'll become the devil-kicking, God-honoring, mountain-moving, overcoming person that you really want to be. You can do it in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Why don't we stand to our feet? I want to close in prayer this morning. Oh, Lord, just come here, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Let's just close our eyes. Come on now. Let God do business with us. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Lord, I pray for a beautiful moment of transparency right now between you and us. Lord, I believe with every fiber of my being there is destiny on every man and woman in this room. They're a miracle created by you, fashioned by you, formed by you. And today, Lord, I just want to speak destiny in the name of Jesus. There is greatness in this room. There is greatness. Lord, there may have been a lifetime of failure, but I still speak greatness in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that destiny would burn alive and doubt, discouragement, and being defeated. Lord, we come against the enemy in the name of Jesus. Those whispers and those lies of the devil who says, you'll never do it. You've been 10 years in this truck, stuck in this rut, 10 years in this addiction, 10 years in this situation. But Lord, I want to just come against the works of the enemy and break the power of darkness over souls and the lies and discouragement in the name of Jesus. And I speak life. Therefore, if we are in Christ, all things become new. The old has passed. I thank you for the regenerative power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, let's lift our hands to the Lord. I thank you, Father. This morning, I pray for an impartation of faith that you would strengthen the hearts of your people today. And the Lord, we would just surrender and submit and yield to your Lordship. Father, we confess we feel so weak. We feel so weak. Our willpower even lets us down. Lord, I pray that in our weakness we'd experience the strength of God coming in. When we surrender and yield to you. Lord, I pray that 2020 will be a brilliant, fantastic year for each and every life. We commit it to you, God. Have your way in this church. Have your way in every home, every heart, every child, Lord, this year. We commit it to you. Lord, I speak your blessing over every person now in the powerful name of Jesus. May our lifestyles, our choices, our daily living exalt you. Be a light in our neighborhood. Father, today we commit to your word. It might just be a few minutes, it might be a couple of verses, but Lord, we commit to your word this year. We commit to prayer because we realize we must decrease and you must increase. And we will live an amazing life that we can't even begin to imagine the great things you want to do in and through us. So Lord, we bless you today. Watch over our flock. Watch over our family. We pray for all the sick and those that are troubled, that they would call out to you. You would bring comfort and healing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Family, can we commit to being people of the Word? I'm just talking like a father to his children. I really encourage you. You can have all the intention of the world and New Year's resolutions, but if we're not people of the Word of God being implanted, we will never, ever make it. Psalm 1 says, basically, people that are in the Word of God will bear fruit, no matter what season they're in. The people who are not in the Word will reap death and destruction. I really encourage you, before the routine is crammed and the calendar gets full, why don't you say, this portion of time is my God time. And prepare well for the day. God bless you. Thank you for listening.